What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Jeff Bezos, the world's richest man here on Earth, poised to go to space in just a little under 12 minutes. This is going to be a suborbital flight. It's going to go above the internationally recognized start of space, the Kármán line, max altitude of probably about 65 miles. They're going to travel at a speed of up to three times the speed of sound. It's going to be a fully autonomous 11-minute flight, if all goes according to plan, 16th for the New Shepard spaceflight system, but the very first to have people on board. And guys, it is historic. You've got among the crewmates, you have Wally Funk, who at 82 years old is poised to become the oldest person to ever go to space. And you have paying passenger Oliver Damon, who is poised to become the youngest to ever go to space. You also have Jeff Bezos' brother, Mark, on board as well. In total, six seats, four of them are filled. There will be about 3 minutes of weightlessness at that maximum altitude as well, where they're going to get to see the curve of the Earth. They're going to get to unbuckle and float around in zero gravity and have that essentially astronaut experience that future, if all goes according to plan, future paying passengers are going to have as we see this nascent suborbital space tourism market begin to kick into gear after years of talking about it. This also, guys, marks the first beginning of commercial service for Blue Origin for these space tourism flights.
And Morgan, we've learned so much about that, as you say, nascent suborbital business that is just beginning. Now, we're going to come back to you momentarily, Morgan. Do want to take a minute here with Jim to talk about the markets, particularly given, of course, the declines we saw yesterday. What are you watching this morning, Jim? I mean, perhaps it's nothing more than the 10-year note, which 10-year treasury, which continued to decline in yield.
Right. But I am looking at a rebound in travel and entertainment. And I think that's very important because this decline, a lot of people just put right in the feet of the variant. And we know from Meg Terrell that the R-naught, not to be too technical, but how many people get infected by one, is lightning.
It's okay. Very, very contagious. Right. That said, we continue to come back to the keys, which are, or at least should be,
antivirals.
Which are lack of hospitalizations and deaths. Certainly, if you are vaccinated, you're still unlikely to get it.
Yes.
And you're very unlikely to get particularly sick.
Right.
Those are important things to note.
Exactly. I thought Governor Murphy was excellent this morning, just talking about, listen, if you're vaccinated, go about, do your life. And I thought that was very important, and people are doing their lives because Carnival Cruise this morning, Carnival Corp, announced it's going to be operating capacity to nearly 75% by year end. That's a big deal. That group has been really pummeled. So if you can see some strength in the cruise ships, and then we follow up maybe with Phil LeBeau, and we hear somewhat negative, obviously, about international.
Right.
But there's still good travel going on with the regular.
Jim, I wonder, are we going to have days like yesterday more often in the sense of we're potentially going to continue to see rising case counts? As you point out, the Delta variant is extraordinarily contagious.
Right.
And there are, unfortunately, are many people who are unvaccinated still in this country and certainly in other places around the world.
Right.
Or is there going to be, as you say, sort of, hey, you know what? Most people are vaccinated, thankfully. And we're going to go about our business, and things are not going to shut down in any real way or change in any real way in terms of behavior.
I actually think I'm a little more bullish about what can happen in the country. If hospitalizations and deaths do go up, I think the resolve of the anti-vaxxers will decline. I think a lot of people feel right now that there's just much more asymptomatic. When an athlete is still, you know, is playing and doesn't feel anything, as opposed to what happened before.
That thankfully is the case for many of the people who, when it is a breakthrough, which is again not often, but does occur, particularly given how contagious the Delta variant is. Right. When you're out in the world, you're around a lot of people. Right. Possibly you are. You know, it can break through on occasion, but those people don't get particularly sick.
Right. But there's another side that we have to talk about it today. And it's a company that is a very big industrial that matters tremendously.
Tell
it's
me.
PPG.
Okay, PPG.
Okay, so the raw costs of paint have gone up so dramatically that it does call into question the transitory issue. In the first quarter, they thought, thank you, Frank Mitsch, for this, but first quarter, they thought that it could be up, you know, low single digits. Second quarter, they thought raw costs would be high single digits. It came out last night. You're now in the whopping mid to high teens, and they said the next quarter, raw costs could be up 20%. Now, this is a very basic industrial. All right. Now, there are some issues. There's a force majeure in some parts of this TiO2, which is a whitener in short supply. But, David, this is a pre-announcement. It's a pre-announcement from an industrial that is in so many different businesses that it took me by surprise.
Yeah.
Because you can imagine, they're not the only company. I mean, yesterday in the lightning round, I had a question about Sherwin-Williams. And I said, I'm worried about the raw costs here at Sherwin-Williams.
Right.
The raw costs are going up quicker than they can raise prices.
But you have been in the transitory camp.
This is worrisome for me. Mm-hmm. J.B. Hunt comments today. Can't find the drivers. I mean, what's happening is that now we're in earnings period. So right. your transitory comments are smacked. What's smacked?
What, Bezos? The 10-year note, 1.14, Jim. Oh. 1.14, what it's saying is people are now worried about a lack of growth.
I know, and that's why Rocket Mortgage keeps going down. I mean, it's like there's no more refi, and maybe people feel like
crude oil now, the OPEC deal, but crude is 66 WTI.
Well, look, I mean, why did they sell off? Why did the industrial sell off? Well, this is what I'm giving you as PPG,
right?
Is why. A metaphor for raw costs.
Yep.
And I don't want to get too negative because the travel and leisure is that's the growth side. But the variant and the raw costs are the, I don't want to say recession, David, that's just silly. But you know,
that's ridiculous.
No, people are saying 10-year.
The 10-year is the story. I mean, it makes little sense.
Where are all those
sense.
People who said it should be 2 and 3?
I know. Where are they all,
I think
right?
they're hiding. They're
By the way, there's got to be a
launch.
Lot of pain.
They're at the launch.
There were plenty of people who thought we were going to hit
billionaire
at least 2%.
Too. Remember, that's billionaire-itis.
Single time we've remember, what was our high? 1.7? Where do we?
And they were going to 2, and those people just disappeared. You know, maybe they should be sent to space. Maybe they should go to Mars and see whether there are. You know, we had a gentleman on talking about extraterrestrials. I think they should go out there and find them before they find us.
Mm. Maybe so.
Area 51 is another area to put the people with who were looking for 3% on the 10-year.
That is quite a story there. That move down in yield over the last.
No, it's astonishing.
Of days.
But David,
yes.
again,
we're up in price.
One of the things that is that makes me feel somewhat tentative about the international money is that we've seen Germany fall before and we didn't go down like this in terms of yields.
Right.
So there is, there's less refi. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's Rocket Mortgage is telling you that. I had that from First Horizon last night. A little more tentative economic activity. You're focused on the darn launch.
You're right, I am. I keep looking at it. It's 4 minutes now.
And then IBM, David, delivers a
richest
quarter.
Richest man is going into
IBM
space with his brother.
I want to make
nice
other people's rich as he is.
The youngest,
you just want to watch him in space.
And then incredible story of Wally Funk. She's amazing. By the way,
Wally Funk. How about IBM?
Watching
how about
her climb the 7 flights up was amazing.
How about the Apple increase by UBI? How about the evidence
Whatever
lab?
You got evidence lab for
No,
me?
But how about this? First inflows for,
I got stuff for you
in a
too.
Long time, $297 million. Risk back on, to use that hackneyed phrase.
Yes.
And yesterday we saw the semis rally at the end of the day.
Meaning what?
Meaning that maybe the stuff that's been most beat up is already ready
well,
to
we
come
back.
Well,
you talked and we did focus on NVIDIA yesterday, which I wouldn't call beat up in any way, but which had a downturn very short.
Very odd. It had a 4-for-1 split last night, and I would have thought that the selling, selling is actually up today.
Yes.
And then, David, HCA. This is one of the largest beats I've seen of the year. Pandemic moderating, so people are getting elective surgery. Now, so the question is, I think vaccinated people will continue to get elective surgery. And then, the big kahuna of today is the potential opioid settlement. And how good it is for McKesson.
We've got a lot of news to get to.
Well, I'm trying
But we got a launch. We got a launch. We got 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
What are you, so Walter Cronkite? I mean, I got the calendar. Mr. Car Wash, David. Mr. Car Wash, Jeffrey starts with a bomb.
All right, when he gets to Mr. Car Wash, it is time
David,
to go to
Mr.
Morgan
Car
Brennan.
Wash.
Morgan, I'm going to let you take it away now with about 2.5 minutes to go before launch.
Yeah, we are less than 2.5 minutes. I just want to give you a quick sense. I mean, the video we're showing you right now is the exteriors of this reusable rocket and capsule on the launch pad here in West Texas. But I just want to give you a sense of what the interiors are like and what the astronauts are, or the future astronauts are likely experiencing, having been inside that simulation capsule myself that they did 2 days of training inside. Six seats, partially reclined to help evenly distribute that G-force, and a flight suit, but no other special gear. And as you can see, the retraction right now, as they get ready for this launch, we are about a minute and a half from liftoff, guys, for this first crewed suborbital New Shepard flight to space. 16th flight for this space flight system, the first with humans on board, set to make history, helping to usher in this new era of commercial spaceflight that we've been talking about for so long, and to which folks like Jeff Bezos have been putting billions of their own wealth into, in a bet on this long-term greater vision, both from a business standpoint and a societal one, a human one, on space and our future as the human species in space, this idea of colonization of the final frontier. This is the first step for a company like Blue Origin in that bigger, broader vision for Bezos to build this so-called road to space. We're 40 seconds from liftoff here. Thrust will be 110,000 pounds, max acceleration, 3 times the speed of sound for this 11-minute fully autonomous journey that we will see past the edge of space, past the so-called Kármán line.
T-16, guidance internal. T-15, 9, 10, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. Command engine start. 2, 1. Ignition. We have lift off. Ship has cleared the tower.
And New Shepard has cleared the tower on our way to space with our first human crew. Go, Jeff, go, Mark, go, Molly, go, Oliver. You are going to space.
Bezos and his three crewmates are now headed to space.
Beautiful burn on that BE-3 engine.
30,000 feet.
Liquid hydrogen.
History is being made here in the West Texas desert right now.
Liquid oxygen as a propellant. It's a nice,
as
not just clean in terms of
not only the richest man on Earth, but potentially the oldest person to have ever gone to space, the youngest person to have ever gone to space, and the first time that a U.S. company is carrying a paying passenger to space as we see this mission underway.
It just feels different, doesn't it, Gary?
It is totally different.
All right, you can follow along, of course, the speedometer in the bottom left, the altimeter in the middle of the screen.
It's a single liquid-fueled BE-3 engine. In about half a minute, likely half a minute to a minute, you're going to see that rocket booster. You're going to see that rocket booster detach and begin its own landing back here in the desert. David and Jim, watching it back at the New York Stock Exchange. Initial reactions. What do you think?
You know, Joe's been making fun of me from years ago when I talked about how exciting these rocket launches are. But man, I want to do this. I want to do this, Morgan.
Do.
Watching that makes me want to get in.
Right?
Do it. How much fun could that be?
By the way, just take a look. You're seeing that the altitude. I don't know if you can see it right there. There you go. The altitude as they do climb to the edge of space right now. Looks like 0G. They accelerated 2-3 times the speed of sound. Now things begin to slow down a little bit.
What, Morgan, what's the max
altitude? You're going to see weightlessness.
Yeah. Okay.
They're going to go above the Kármán line, which is 62 miles above Earth. And so they're going to go for a bit further than this. And as you see on that screen, it's 0G. So weightlessness has set in. And this is we're not going to get those images until after they land and land safely. But presumably right now, you have those passengers unstrapping to begin experiencing that weightlessness around the capsule's cabin.
Morgan, it's Jim. I know that I watched, candidly, like I watch a sci-fi movie, a scary movie, because the last thing you ever want to see is something terrible. How many people there actually felt that maybe something could go wrong?
Well, you know, it's like the old saying, space is hard. Space is hard. And space with humans on board a spacecraft is especially hard. Everything has to go pretty much perfectly right. That being said, I think there was a lot of confidence here. It's part of the reason you did see Jeff Bezos climb aboard this inaugural crewed flight. And, you know, not just a marketing move, but a vote of confidence in this system. As it's been described to me by the executives at Blue Origin, the redundancies have redundancies, in some case, more redundancies. When they land, you'll have 3 parachutes. They've tested, and this could land even with just 2 parachutes. They've tested the emergency escape system 3 times as well. So there was a very high degree of confidence in putting people on board for this flight, including the founder on board for this flight today.
1 minute warning. 1 minute
and there
warning.
It is.
Well, it's not going to be like Blade, where
so
we're going to get 5 guys together
reached.
And send it.
They're coming. They're already on their way down now, right?
I mean, Morgan? That's it.
Yep, that's right. That's right.
That's it.
Wow. So we saw. It looks like it was about altitude of about 340,000 feet or so. I'll get those final numbers for you in just a few moments. But now, that's right. The descent begins. You can see those. It looks like you can see those parachutes deployed.
David, the cost
and then on
per
the
minute.
Left side of your screen, that is the booster.
Okay.
First step, status check. Astronaut Oliver.
Oliver, status check. Oh, sorry.
Blue Control, Oliver, status perfect. BNC.
Copy, Astronaut Wally.
Wally.
Blue Control, Wally is BNC.
Copy, Astronaut Demo.
Astronaut Demo, revise.
Copy, Astronaut Bezos. Copy.
Thank you again, everybody, for joining us live. First human flight on the ship. So, Flyer Booster is about to return to its landing pad. There we see engine relight. What a sonic boom!
And that is the reusable rocket booster making a pinpoint landing back here. I don't know if you guys could hear it, but that was the sonic boom as it re-entered and came down for this touchdown.
First up, your booster has landed.
And that's the capsule making its descent, where those four are now astronauts on board. When they land, they will have earned their astronaut wings. Right now, they're going to be feeling the force of 5 G's.
Oh, yeah. I see blue. I see blue. I see the big bar. I see the big bar.
Stand by drogues. Stand by drogues. Stand by main. Stand by main. Stand by main.
And that's the capsule. It just deployed its parachutes. You can hear the clapping on the ground here. You have employees clapping and cheering. The astronauts, by the way, have been joined by family members and friends for this launch as well. A lot of celebrating happening here on the ground. You can see those parachutes. And that capsule coming in for a landing, it's slowing down. The parachutes will slow it down to about 16 miles per hour. And as it gets closer, there will be thrusters that power up to slow it further for a landing of about 1 to 2 miles per hour when it touches down. Guys. You can add astronaut
there it is.
To the list of accomplishments for Jeff Bezos.
Yep.
We often talk about
tourism era has begun, Morgan.
We often talk of him as the richest man on Earth.
Yes.
But he was not. So who's the second? Because that person just became the richest for. He's not on Earth.
11 minutes. Yeah, he's Elon Musk or whoever else it was. Right?
Elon Musk.
Yeah. Kind of funny, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Two of them. Maybe they'll go up together one day, although I guess they.
I don't know if that could be allowed.
Yeah,
it's like
also,
the president and vice president being in the
whose
same
rocket
room.
Would they use?
Well, there we go.
A smooth
whoa.
Touchdown. Touchdown. As you can hear, more cheering here.
Welcome
on
back
launch
to
site
Earth
one.
Steph. Congratulations to all of you.
We control Bezos.
We're so grateful everybody who made this possible.
History has been made.
Amazing.
I think we heard Jeff Bezos there saying thank you to everybody.
Copy, first step. You have a very happy Capcom here as well. Let's do a status check. Astronaut Oliver.
It does make the NVIDIA stock split seem very pedestrian.
Okay.
Squawk
copy.
In space.
Astronaut Demo.
Astronaut Demo, I am unbelievably good.
Copy.
As you get Blue Control Bezos, best day ever.
Yeah.
Copy, everyone. Go ahead and remain in your seats. Crew Member 7 is on their way. Shortly, you will hear the capsule off-gassing.
Did anybody
have to turn out the door?
I did it.
Yeah. No,
I think I'll see that. My main mission was accomplished. I didn't
take anyone.
That was only about 5 minutes.
Yep.
First up, Blue Control, your apogee
so guys,
was 351,210 feet.
A successful first crewed mission of Blue Origin's New Shepard capsule and rocket, a mission that has minted four new astronauts. Keep in mind, still a very elite club, only fewer than 600 people have actually become astronauts. And now Jeff Bezos, his brother Mark, Wally Funk as the oldest now to travel to space, and paying passenger Oliver Damon as the youngest to travel to space, all officially astronauts who will receive those astronaut wings upon their retrieval from this capsule. Guys, I need to note, it is July 20th. It is the 52nd anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing. That was a seminal moment for Jeff Bezos. He has said that that is really where the seed was planted for this lifelong, nearly lifelong dream of going to space and becoming an astronaut. And here it is, 52 years later, and it has happened. Pretty incredible.
Yeah, well,
and pretty incredible.
Incredible. I can remember
Bezos and I are the same.
We're the same age, so I can remember watching that 3 or 4 in the morning, whenever it was, Jim, when they landed on the moon.
Because I am insistent. Bezos Amazon is up nicely.
Yes.
It's up 20 points. That's, you know, in the world that I'm in, because I'm a dollar sign represented by a man. It's obvious that there were people who were concerned, and they're buying.
It was quite something to watch, and as Morgan has said so many times, and this is an important industry that we're watching be created. Obviously,
oh, yeah.
It's got a lot ahead of it yet, but Morgan is, and it looks like, I guess they're going to open the... Open the capsule, and they're running over there. And they'll be coming out shortly, I would guess, are the four
yes.
newly minted astronauts.
They have rehearsed this, but it is the first time that you will see that Blue Origin crew actually open that capsule door back up and welcome people back onto the ground, back onto Earth after this trip more than 62 miles above our planet. And guys, this is the start of commercial service for Blue Origin as well. Now that this successful flight has happened, they are planning two more of these suborbital trips with paying passengers on board before this year is out.
Right. I assume this will become commonplace, so much so, I guess the plan is, Morgan, that we certainly won't be focused on it any longer. But today was a historic day.
Now, David, do you think that billionaires who have exhausted pretty much everything they can do between owning islands and buying, say, 190-foot yachts. Is this next?
Without a doubt.
It's a billionaire sign-up, right?
Yes. I mean, there are going to be plenty of others. The price point, though, is going to continue to be very high. Morgan, obviously, has filled us in on that. Over time, it's expected to come down as we watch them beginning to open the capsule. But yeah, Jim, you know, I distinctly remember a dinner I had a number of years ago with a lot of very wealthy people, exceptionally wealthy, and they went around the table asking them, what would you want to do? What's the one thing? And almost to a person, they said, go to space.
Go to space.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Morgan, there may be a long list. I guess there already is, right, for both Virgin Galactic and potentially Blue Origin in terms of the trips at least they have planned.
That's right. You know, David, I feel like you and I, it's our common question that we continue to ask over and over again when we talk about this, but that is, what is the total addressable market for space tourism? We don't have those hard numbers from either of the companies publicly yet, but both of these companies, whether it is Blue Origin or Virgin Galactic, continue to say, and have continued to say in the case of Blue Origin here to me over the last couple of days, that demand currently exceeds capacity. And the game plan over the longer term is, it's kind of like the early days of aviation. The more they can ramp production, the more regular they can get with these types of space flights, the more prices can come down and the more accessible and mainstream this entire trip and process can become. But that is going to be a ramp that will probably take a number of years to get to still.
Yeah. as they
Gary,
get ready to.
The architect of
there he is.
Congratulations to you, man.
Yep.
Congratulations.
There he is. Back on Earth.
Big smiles.
Jeff Bezos, who's accomplished a great deal, of course, building Amazon and Blue Origin, and now, as Morgan pointed out, one of the very few people to go into space, even if it was for a short amount of time. Well, hear the applause, of course. We still do have markets to watch for you, and we are going to get back to the news of the morning as well. Here at the Big Board, by the way, it's Stevanato Group. That's a diagnostic services provider. It's celebrating its recent IPO, as you hear the bell. Also with the NASDAQ, Philip Edison & Company. It's an owner and operator of shopping centers. Also a recent IPO, because, man, have we had a lot of IPOs.
The numbers are just staggering.
And the applause is both here and there as they begin to, there they are, exiting the capsule. There's Mr. Bezos.
Minted astronauts being greeted by their family and friends who are here to watch this space flight and this historic moment out here in the West Texas desert, just 25 miles north of the small town of Van Horn. Successful, smooth launch and landing. And as you can see right there, four passengers look pretty elated to have gone on this rather short, just 11-minute journey past the edge of space.
Yep, quite something to have watched. All right, are we going to get back to following the markets here, I think, as well? Of course, as you can see in the corner of your screen, the S&P does start the session up, although, Jim, not a particularly strong open.
No.
I want to thank Morgan, of course, for all that amazing coverage. We'll be joined by her again shortly as you take a look at the continued embraces for the astronauts. That's Mark Bezos, I believe, Jeff's brother, lives not far from us in Scarsdale, New York. All right. Morgan, thank you.
You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones, from powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY, a big idea that inspired the world to invest differently, and still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Jim,
yep.
Let's get back to the markets. S&P is sort of, you know, not much of an open here after obviously that fairly significant decline yesterday, although we did cut our losses later in the session.
It's entirely possible that the market players are transfixed like we were. I mean, I don't want to trust this opening. The majority of people who are interested in stocks, I think, were very much interested in the launch. So let's give it a little time. You want the market to have a dramatic rebound because the futures were dramatically up this, you know, say 3:30, 4 a.m. We're not going to get that. We're going to be reflective again of what's going on in Europe, which is so so-so move. And I know that the 10-year is not exactly as exciting as the launch, but it continues to confound people who want to believe that it's time for economic expansion.
Yeah, those are yield levels that we have not seen, and you have to go back quite some time.
And yet, when you try to get a mortgage, believe me, you're not getting that rate. Okay.
No, you're not. You're not.
I'm frantically trying to get one anywhere near that.
Well, I don't think you're going to be able to get one at 113, but you'll, no. I'm sure you can get one at a decent spread to that.
Not great.
No?
Not great. I'm speaking to Brian Jordan yesterday. By the way, First Horizon's actually a very big bank now.
Yep.
And, you know, you're not getting that rate. He's not making that much money on these, obviously. But what I do feel is that I'm surprised that there's not another refinance wave. But it looks like, Dave, everybody who wanted to may have refinanced.
May have already done it. Let's get to some of the movers this morning. Let's start with IBM. It's up about 3%. You followed the company pretty closely.
Yeah.
Relatively new CEO still. Obviously, a big split of the company going to be taking place. Revenues were flat. But the market seems to be okay with that.
Well, I mean, Citi goes from 140 to 150, says there might be turning the corner. Katie Huberty, a little skeptical on the conference call about the gross margin, does still say strengthening of demand, takes it 152 to 164. I think that Arvind Krishna correctly made a case of saying, listen, we've got some businesses that are doing so well, we're going to pour some of our free cash flow there. There are skeptics, David, who say, well, there's debt pay down, but at the same time, how can you have growth, pay debt, have the pay down, and have the dividend? And I think that this quarter answered a lot of questions, that you can still have a raised dividend. Not enough answers for me about the spinoff, but that really wasn't the focus. It was obviously the quarter.
Right.
But it gave people confidence. But also there was a lot of one quarter does not a growth stock.
Are the parts of the company that are supposed to be growing quickly, and remember, of course, Ginni Rometty retooled the company to some extent in that regard, Red Hat being certainly a key part of that. Are they growing as fast as they
should
be? I mean, Red Hat revenue was up 17% adjusting for concurrency. Yep.
But I thought this was interesting. They have 3,200 clients now for the hybrid model. Since Red Hat joined the fold in 2019 and Jim White has just moved on, senior advisor, that's a four-time gain. I thought that was very good. Usually they don't give good logos,
right?
I find. But they have Verizon, CBS have been mentioned before. CBS, they handled 10 million calls, obviously, because of COVID. Talked very lovingly about the EY relationship. A lot of people are jealous because EY is a fantastic information technology company. And Schlumberger with a very positive comment about you doing work with Schlumberger.
Right.
Against that all is people like to see gross margin expansion.
Yep.
And he's not giving it to you. But that in a nutshell is what people are saying. And there were some people who said, with Whitehurst gone, maybe there's something going on, Red Hat that we don't like, just the opposite. So I think IBM is will maintain its lead today.
Okay. Let's talk about some of the bigger companies as well, which, you know, Apple as the largest single market cap company out there. Hit $2.5 trillion. It's about $100 billion below that now, 2.4.
You're getting one after another people saying that it looks like there's going to be 2 million more iPhones sold. I mean, today was UBS, and talking about average selling price up 2%. That's good gross margin growth, so people are going to like that. We had some very positive comments about Fang. I mean, people wanted to, you know, Jeffries comes in and says, stick with Facebook and Google. Ad checks at Facebook are very good. Remember, there was privacy issues, so there were people who felt to be a step
down.
Not a step down.
There were a couple other stories involving Apple that are not necessarily related to the main part of the business, but I thought were interesting. One is that they did delay return to work by a month. Now, you know, they had been having, and there'd been reporting at least about pushback from their employees because they seem to be demanding more in-person time than some of the other big technology companies, wanting people back as much as 3 days. So they pushed it out, but it also could be framed as a concern about the Delta variant, although it's not completely clear to me that that really is the case. It may very well be related more to them trying to get their policy in line with what their employees are really looking for.
People are struggling.
Because we've brought this up so many times, and it continues to be one of the bigger stories in business in terms of how many people will come back to the office, when they will come back, how they will come back, and whether you lose people if you are more stringent in terms of your expectations?
You know, the way you want to follow that, I find, is to look at GM and Ford.
Okay.
Because car sales are stronger whenever you have a hybrid model, because people are at home. And yet the raw costs of making a car have gone up so much, and the problem with supply, but also the problem with labor, that these stocks have been dogs. I mean, you know, they had a very big run.
Well, GM's Ford had a great run. You've been, that's been your favorite.
And I was going to say, Jim Farley, I think, is going to, this is going to be the quarter that I think you're going to be surprised the upside.
Okay.
Why? Because Taiwan Semi basically gave you the high sign that things aren't as tight. 40% increase in the number of chips versus where we thought. These are full-feature chips, which means that Ford should not be down where it is.
Okay.
Saying buy Ford.
Got it.
I am saying buy Ford.
Okay. And you've been saying that consistently for quite some time and have been right to do so for any real measurement.
Uniquely is going to be able to talk on the call about the first actual rival to Elon Musk. This, the Mach-E.
Right.
Just incredible sales and great customer satisfaction, in part because Car and Driver magazine named it the best EV car of the year. Now, you're looking at me a little bit askance.
No,
not arms akimbo, thank heavens.
No, not arms akimbo.
But I thought that was a very big win for Jim Farley. Remember, Jim takes this thing very seriously.
Yes, one would hope so.
He wants
the CEO of the company.
Musk. He is not a Musk
fan. That's not going to happen, most likely.
Well, no. He's a very competitive fellow.
Which is what you want to see, but Tesla is a pretty formidable competitor.
I've seen in business.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, he won't stop until he makes Musk look bad. Oh, no. He says that
Elon Musk is not competitive.
I mean, he's making...
Jeff
Bezos is not
competitive?
There are people who say that he's talking about the Musk truck is looking like the Aztec.
Okay.
But Aztec was particularly ugly.
I understand. It was very ugly. I know. I do remember.
The song
was. The other story involving Apple, by the way, Jim, is that they are looking for a Hollywood expansion. That's according to the Journal.
Yes.
Which, again, goes back to their content production for Apple TV, Apple Plus. And, you know, I have remarked that for quite some time, at least for a period there, where it should not even be included as considered to be a major direct-to-consumer platform because they got no library. But they are significantly ramping up their spending.
Yeah,
there is no
budget,
doubt.
They have
unlimited. Well, they do if they choose to have unlimited.
They're not Bitcoin over there.
Right.
David, what do you think is one of the biggest, I haven't been able to check them all, companies based in Los Angeles, or in this case, Santa Monica?
Snapchat.
And how big do you think it is?
Fairly large.
$90 billion reports this
now?
Week. People are looking for 84% revenue growth. That's July 22nd. And the stock is at 59. David, you should buy that one.
That's a $94 billion market value.
That's a buy because Evan Spiegel, whom I actually have a picture with and sent to my kids, that was the top. That was the initial.
I remember when he was here.
Evan Spiegel. Yeah.
We never spoke to him again.
Is now such a focused business person. I'm hearing he's a nerd.
I think he always was.
No, he had that period.
No, he was.
He had that gone Hollywood period.
He never went. He was always a nerd.
Well, I have to tell you.
People said that when things weren't going as well as they wanted them to.
I like him.
What is it they're getting right, in your opinion, at this point?
Well, they've got that demo, David, and people keep looking at it. It's like TikTok. You can't get TikTok, buy some Snap. I mean, TikTok, David. I mean, 70 million people spend most of their day looking at TikTok. I'm convinced of that. I mean, I'm not kidding. TikTok. I mean, my wife has at least seven dogs that dominate TikTok.
TikTok, of course, owned by ByteDance, a Chinese company. It is not public, although there had been some plans, but they may be delayed given the regulatory crackdown going on in China. And that continues, of course, to be a big story for us.
You,
not to mention on antitrust front and various
antitrust
things.
What are you hearing about M&A heating up?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think
maybe
so.
A little bit.
I think people are trying to get some deal done before they get.
You may. It's the regulatory climate has changed to a certain extent. There's no doubt, though, financing is abundant. We did have a large deal yesterday, of course, Zoom. Actually, we're taking a look because the stock didn't perform overly well in all stock transactions.
David, an undercurrent that we have to talk about
is
Bitcoin, which the Bitcoin enthusiasts are muted.
Below 30,000 is Bitcoin.
I'm talking about Tether tonight.
What are you going to say, or is that a tease?
About Tether being perhaps a bit of an Achilles heel.
You need to explain what. Can you explain what Tether
is like
for people?
Think of it like a money fund. It's like you can redeem it. The biggest one by far happens to be Tether, and it's the one that I think the working group in Washington. Here was being about Yellen, talking about Gensler. They're worried, I think. I think they want to know what the company has in its coffers.
Okay.
Because you're expected to have something that is liquid, that looks like U.S. Treasuries to some degree. And New York State will not let this company operate here, which I find to be what I call a red flag. It's a red flag.
So there's concern.
And they're really concerned in Washington.
Does that impact all of crypto? If there's a lot of concern,
they're talking about this. In the paper that I'm going to go over tonight, it's you're really talking about people who are so concerned that they invoke things like the Lehman Brothers money fund. Remember
when they broke the buck.
A break the buck situation. Mm-hmm. So that's something I've got a professor from Yale on who understands exactly how things can go wrong when people aren't expecting them. And I know that Gensler and Yellen don't want this to happen. This is almost $60 billion potential Achilles heel.
Yes.
Now, I know there are people online who desperately want this thing to not be a problem, but I feel like I got to keep it front and center.
Speaking of front and center, I wanted you to come back to something you'd mentioned,
Once people stop looking at...
Which is the $26 billion opioid settlement, which is getting very close. The states. Now, that's
McKesson,
separate from...
McKesson, Mercer-Bergen.
Right, that's...
It's very good for them.
Is it good for them? Yeah, McKesson and Mercer-Bergen, obviously the large drug distributors.
You don't have that risk. You know, that was always a big risk.
McKesson shares are up over 5%. We don't talk about it often enough, perhaps.
But it's a healthcare debt.
Unfortunately, we are in the midst of it. Just 93,000 people from overdoses, most of them over the last year from opioids, Jim.
Some challenged areas.
Half a million people have died in the last, 20 years?
It's just tragic. And I don't think the settlement is necessarily going to make it so that education is going to change the situation.
New York State settled separately for $1 billion, but overall, this is $26 billion.
Well, the problem, David, is how many pills you get after you've had surgery.
Right.
NVIDIA down very badly today.
I wouldn't say
it's up 26 yesterday.
Yeah. NVIDIA's down.
I don't know, David. It's a mixed tape, but I do find that yesterday, tech, particularly the semis, gave us a turnaround, and today we've got industrials turning and obviously healthcare. And healthcare's been a missing element.
Yep.
We need healthcare to go up.
About HCA as well. I want to get to Bob Pisani now for more on the broader markets as well. Good morning, Bob.
And Jim's right. It is a mixtape. 2-1 advancing to declining stocks. A little bit of a defensive tone at the open. We've moved up from the open. But Jim's right. Healthcare, utilities led at the open. REITs, which is the best performing sector this year, strong. Best performing sectors this month as well, leading. Industrials up a little bit. Tech's up as well. So let's call it a mixtape. I think that's the way to keep it. I think the big issue, there's two big issues here. What about this COVID variant? How can we look at it? And what would the federal response be if it doesn't go away? So two issues. We got earnings coming out now. Will the CEOs be a little bit more cautious in their comments about reopening? Will that affect the earnings outlook or will that affect psychology at all? And secondly, the Federal Reserve. Might they be more cautious on ending the bond buying program if, in fact, there are major issues going forward in August and September, October, limited lockdowns of any kind at all? Those are the two issues, I think. One thing that's very clear, we are very oversold in large parts of the market. So take a look here. And I'm using RSI, which is a sort of momentum indicator, a short-term momentum indicator. And generally, when you're at or below 30, that's very oversold. So energy, Russell 2000, transports, materials, S&P mid-caps, all on the oversold side. And of course, we're seeing some bounce today. And some of these reopening stocks have given up, 50, 60, 70% of their gains for the year. These stocks were all up huge in January and February. But look, Carnival, United Airlines, Freeport MacMoran, Schlumberger, Gap, all 20, 30% off of their highs. That's pretty oversold if you believe in the reopening story. So there are obviously people who are arguing we should be doing something or buying in some way. As for the earnings, they keep going on. Jim mentioned PPG. I just want to reiterate what's going on because this is a real kind of issue for certain sectors of the economy. So PPG is a big paint and coatings maker. The business has been fabulous. Volumes are up 24%. People are engaging in all sorts of things that involve coatings, of course, paints and automobiles. But there's tremendous raw material shortages. There's tremendous logistics issues with getting the raw materials to them. And as a result, they actually didn't have a very good earnings report because the higher prices that they were able to charge are not offsetting the higher costs. And that's the big issue overall. Can you maintain margins by raising the prices to match the costs? In the case of PPG, they were not able to do that. You see what's going on there. Remember, margins matter really a lot. Ultimately, it's not just earnings growth, but it's margin, at least maintaining the margins. They're not. Other companies have. Fastenal, for example, they had supply chain issues. They had cost issues, but they were also able to raise the prices and maintain their margins. Conagra's had a little tougher time as well. Like PPG, they've had higher cost issues, but it's been tougher for them to raise the prices to keep up with the cost issues. So you're going to hear more about this. And other than the COVID variant and what CEOs feel about that and how that's the reopening is affecting them, I want to hear more about these cost pressures and whether they feel they're going to be long term or short term. Jim also was chatting about that earlier on. We're sitting right off the highs for the day right now. In fact, right at the highs right now. David, back to you.
OK, Bob, thank you. Bob Pisani. Well, we talked a lot about stocks and we've talked a lot about the bond market as well. But let's get to the bond report this morning and take a look at how treasuries continue to fare. Of course, as we pointed out, yields have dropped dramatically in a very short amount of time. And you can see right there, 1.15. I think I did see a bit lower than that.
It makes it so hard for the banks to rally. They're trying.
Banks are trying to rally. I noticed that. But it is difficult to do so when you've got when you're looking at that kind of potential lack of net interest margin. Right, Jim?
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
CNBC has quick and easy to understand business news updates at the open, midday, and close every weekday. Markets, money, and more from Wall Street to Main Street. I'm CNBC's Jessica Ettinger. Follow and listen to CNBC Business News Updates wherever you get your podcasts.
Jim, when will we get time to tell us what's on Mad Money tonight?
Going to the reopening of the flagship store, Bed Bath & Beyond. You know, I think the turn is real there, Mark Tritton. We've got the Qualtrics guys. This is an amazing experience tech company. And Gary Gordon, we're bringing him on just because he wrote a very serious paper just last week with a fellow from the Federal Reserve about, are these stable coins stable? And could they cause the next panic? Because this man has written more about the panics of our generation than anyone else on Earth.
Interesting. That's great.
And he likes to predict, and the paper is, let's say, frightening.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's a good tease. I'll see you tomorrow as well.
Thanks.
Stocks rebounding today, at least, after yesterday's sell-off. You can see with the Dow up over 1%. We're back after this.
You've been listening to The Opening Bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
CNBC has quick and easy to understand business news updates at the open, midday, and close every weekday. Markets, money, and more from Wall Street to Main Street. I'm CNBC's Jessica Ettinger. Follow and listen to CNBC Business News Updates wherever you get your podcasts.